What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter. Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. All right, my friend, what's up? Thanks so much for tuning back into the show here. If we're going to do this, let's have a little fun in the process, right? Welcome back to the show, my friend, to another Wednesday episode here in the show. This is episode number 463 episodes. Crazy. Crazy good on the podcast here. Thank you so much for tuning back in as always. Got a really good one here for you. My good friend and my copywriter is Brittany McBean. Brittany is joining me again here on the show. She was a guest back in October of 2020, back on episode number 434, where we talked about simple hacks for writing copy that converts. And that was the one of the top three downloaded episodes all year, all of 2020. And so I wanted to, because back in that episode, we talked about some of the work that we were doing for my launch of my new program at the time, Offer to Optimized. And so we launched it in November of 2020, and it was a really, really successful launch. Not so much from a revenue standpoint, but from an earnings per lead standpoint, from engagement standpoint, from a connection with my audience standpoint. The feedback was amazing. And so I was really, really happy. All of our conversion numbers were really, really good. And so I honestly had no idea what to expect because it was a new offer. It was new copy, new program. We have coaches that are there with you for 12 months during the program. So we created a lot of new things, new sales page, new messaging, all that stuff. So I had no idea. I had no idea how it was going to convert. And all the numbers were really, really good. And so I wanted to have Brittany back on the podcast to take you through the process for how she put together the copy and the messaging and what it looked like for she and I to strategize for the launch and also strategize for the actual course part of the Offer to Optimized program. And so I've worked with, as you're going to hear today, again, I've worked with a lot of copywriters over the years. Some of them have been amazing and are still really good friends of mine today. But I got hooked up with Brittany in the early part or spring-ish of 2020. And man, her process just blew me away. And I learned things about you all, my target audience, that I didn't even know or that I assumed I knew. And all that got, you know, put by the wayside based on the research that we gathered during this process. And so Brittany's going to break down her and her team's research process and really how you can do it in your business without a team, without a copywriter. Of course, you can hire somebody to help you with this, but I wanted to make sure that you learn in this episode the types of things that are going to help you learn as much as you possibly can about your perfect customer for your offer or for your offers, okay? So she breaks down the research process. We talk about how to use surveys to get quality data that you can use for your launch, how to use the information that you're getting from the research to either create and or update your course based on the research that you're getting. We get into simplifying the pre-launch process. We talk about quantifying research. We break that down. That sounds really scary, but it's really not. She breaks down the difference between messaging and launch strategy and all that in today's discussion. And by the way, over on the show notes page, I'm including for you the survey email that we used that you're going to hear more about it today, and then also a link to that survey. And so that you can use that as inspiration for your own stuff. And heck, if you're not taking the survey, please take the survey right there. So without further ado, let's dive right into it with Brittany McBean. Brittany, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
did I catch you off guard right there?
I fell asleep. No, I'm good. I'm good. We were, before we hit record, we were talking about just how kind of like heavy life is and it is. Yeah. So like, I'm good. And it's January 15th and it's been a year and it's all hitting us. And yeah, so it's a little bit of both and.
I got you. Yeah. Well, hopefully this conversation will be light, be fun, add some value to people.
Yeah, this is my favorite stuff to talk about. So I'm really excited to chat about this.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know this or not. Well, actually, you do know it because I just told you right before we hit record. But 2 days before the end of the year in 2020, so on December 30th, your episode, so we did an episode October 21st, episode number 434, Simple Hacks for Writing Copy That Converts. Okay. That was, up until December 30th, was the second most downloaded episode all year of 2020.
And so
2 days before the end of the year, you got bumped down to number 3.
And you got to call me out. So what that means is that you all have to go download that episode now.
Yes.
just so I can kick Rick's butt in this ranking.
Yeah. The episode that on December 30th was the episode I did about the update on the whole Apple iOS, the privacy, transparency, all that stuff.
And so, which, like, do you want to hear about like doomsday on the internet, or do you want to hear about like writing copy that makes you a bajillion dollars? Yeah.
Personally, I'd rather hear about writing copy that converts.
Always.
But it is important, the iOS stuff.
No, anyway, it is, and you're the one to talk about it. So yeah, let's chat.
As promised from that conversation, I said I want to have you back on the show to talk about the launch for Offered Optimized that I did in November. And all of the work that you put into it, from writing the copy, all the research, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the launch was really good. All the numbers were really good. The conversion rates were really good. You wrote the sales page. You wrote the emails. You wrote pretty much everything for that launch.
We wrote quite a few words.
lots of words. And the sales page in and of itself was like, what, 7,000 words or something like that.
Yeah, it was a biggie.
But the way that it was designed and written, it just flows really, really nicely. And I think, and which I want to talk about here today, it speaks directly to the ideal student for Offered Optimized. And so we did $113 earnings per lead on that launch. Was the highest earnings per lead I've ever done by $3.
I would like to take all of the credit for that, if that's okay.
You can, just for sure.
Thank you. All of it.
We had a 4.2% conversion on the sales page, which was really good. And again, just a reminder, if you're listening, so brand new offer, brand new copy, brand new messaging, brand new sales page that we've never done before. And so all these numbers were really, really good and really, really happy with it. And so because of that, I wanted to have Brittany back on to take you through what went into the research, the writing the copy, and all that sort of thing. And I remember Voxering you one day because you had let me know, you'd share some feedback that you'd gotten in the research process. And I was like, wait, really? Like, I didn't believe you. And I was like, so we make assumptions that we know our you know, our ultimate customer, if you will, our target audience. And then, you know, we learn something and it completely debunks what you were thinking. And so for everybody listening right now, this is a great lesson. I talk about this all the time. You cannot know enough about your target customers. And I've been doing this now for 7 years, and I feel like I have a pretty darn good understanding of my target customers, both for this podcast, for Offer to Optimize, for Accelerator, et cetera. But yet we learned a ton through Brittany's research. And so let's dive into that. Let's dive into the process of what you did for the launch. But first, reintroduce yourself for the people who did not listen to episode 434. Who is Brittany McBean?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I am a copywriter, conversion copywriter, and launch strategist for 7- and 8-figure course creators. That is what I do most of my days, all day, every day. I live in Richmond, Virginia, and am locked down with a husband who luckily I love so very much, and a toddler who's about to turn 3 who never stops talking or moving. And so life is fun and chaotic and it's good, but this is the stuff that I love the most. Like, I am a good copywriter, and that is the skill that a lot of people value because they've tried to write copy, and copy is hard. But what I think I do best, that like special sauce that I think you really encourage people to think about, like if this wasn't in the business, we wouldn't be making money, is the strategy. Because I have a team of incredible writers who are great copywriters. But what I bring to the table is looking at all the things we're going to talk about, looking at the research and using that to inform the entire launch strategy, and not just webinar versus challenge, right? Like everything. And that is what leads to above industry average conversions. And that's what I enjoy the most and what I really spend the most like time and energy and effort doing for my clients.
Yeah. So, and first of all, I want to acknowledge you for the fact that you said, I'm a good copywriter. I know that's hard for you to say because you are a damn good copywriter. And your business, what'd your business do in 2019?
Well, my business didn't know what it wanted to be when it grew up. And that's okay. In 2019, I figured a lot of stuff out. But after taxes, I made $7,000. That's 7,000 in 2019. That was not enough to pay our bills.
And that was also not 2020 either.
Oh, it wasn't.
Do you remember
people and places? Remember that? Like in 2019, there were people and places we could go to.
Coffee shops we can go sit down, talk with somebody.
That was nice.
Okay. Back to the lunch. So when we first started talking about
I'm going to finish that, not to brag, but because so $7,000 in 2019, I've never been someone who's earned a significant amount of income before. I don't come from a business world. I did a lot of things right, and then also had a lot of things fall into place. And last year we did $172,000 in client work alone.
Wait, you did?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that final number.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I had no, I knew obviously that you passed the 6 figures. I didn't know that you almost hit 200,000.
And that was from only May to December. I did $2,000 between January and May.
May to December. That's amazing. That's awesome. Have you figured out what percentage growth that is? From 7,000 to 172?
No.
That'd be an interesting number to do.
I'll do the math, but I also got really burnt out doing that. So that's not like a humble brag. That's like, wow, sure, this was possible. And there's a lot of things we could have done differently.
So going off of your strengths, yes, writing, but as you just mentioned, looking at the strategy of a launch, looking at the research and doing the research and learning as much as you possibly can about the ideal person for a program. And then from there, using that research knowledge to put together the copy strategy and also the overall strategy of the launch, because we work really closely on that. So when we first started talking about it, can you kind of break down the process on your end? And I really want to relate this to how people can start to do this for themselves when they're thinking about launching, or like, all right, cool, I'm launching in 4 months or whatever. Let's start this process now.
Yeah. So one, this is a really complex process over here. Like, we literally do it full time and I don't do it by myself. So I don't want you to hear what I'm about to share and say, oh, cool, I have to go do that for my launch. Like, I do it for my clients as a full-time job. So just pick a couple things that sound fun, interesting, different, new, and add them into your launch. But I think I talked about this in the last podcast, but I always, always, always start with like my soapbox sermon of the money-making order of operations has to go audience first, then offer, then copy. You can, but when we're trying to make money, you do not start with the copy, because the best copy in the world isn't going to sell a bad offer. And the wrong offer to the wrong audience, or the wrong audience for the right offer, is not going to make you money. So every step of the process, whether we're launching a new program, we're launching an existing program, when we are trying to sell something, everything lives and dies by the audience. So when Rick came to me and he was building out this course, it didn't look anything like what it is now, because, well, I mean, one, it wasn't built yet, but two, like, Rick is smart enough to say, I know what I want to do, and I know what I want to teach, and I know what I want to, like, how I want to help people. And I don't know what that looks like yet, because offer doesn't come before audience, because you're smart and you know that. And so the very first thing that we did was we dug into the audience. And so internally, we have like a three-pronged research process where we do, and this is like a multi-week, multi-person process. So please do not hear that you have to like duplicate this, but we send out a survey to the list. And obviously the bigger the list, or not even the bigger the list, the more responses, the more quantifiable the data, and the more like critical mass you reach. We talk to people, like literally one-on-one interviews, which I know Rick has talked about that being like a game changer in his business. And I think a lot of you have probably heard before, but we do a lot of one-on-one interviews. Then we also transcribe and analyze those interviews. Like, they don't just live in our brains. And then we also do cold audience data mining, which is another tool you've probably heard of, you know, where you're looking at in Facebook groups and Reddit forums and Amazon book reviews and all of those things. And we combine all of those, we analyze them as their own separate resource, because they show us different parts of the funnel and where people are at different parts of their level of awareness. Like, the people who are on Rick's list who are filling out the survey are in a very different place than somebody who's reading an Amazon book and leaving a review. So it's important to know where that person is, but it also helps us determine what the messaging is at the different places in the funnel. And then, you know, those one-on-one conversations, we really get to put like breath in the lungs of our perfect student, and we get to hear the more nuanced details, and we get to ask clarifying questions. And it's when we combine all of those that we go from this avatar that is like a weird bobbing Sims character that lives in your, you know, computer screen and is 2D, to a weird, unique, odd, complex human with, you know, contradicting life experiences and all of these different things that we don't really get when we're thinking about like archetypes and stereotypes. And so that's how we start to understand the audience. And then we take all of that information and we quantify it, literally, like we pull the messaging out and put numbers to it, and patterns start to rise to the top. And we get really clear on like, what are the top three pain points? What are the top three fears? What are the top three objections? What are the top three, you know, aspirations? And these aren't generic, I want a better life things. You know, these are really, really specific and really granular. And it's really cool because we start to see these patterns. You know, when I'm combing through a survey of 150 students, it's really awesome when something so specific, you know, like writing landing pages, for example, comes up over and over and over again. And then it's like, wow, that's a really granular thing that we wouldn't have known about. We might have just said like, sales copy or funnel copy, right? But when it's like, oh no, they're really struggling with a landing page, or they're really struggling with design, or whatever this one thing is. So that all happens first, and only from all of that information and gathering it all together do I look at that and make a strategy for both the launch and the messaging. And those are two different strategies. And I would argue that the messaging matters way more than not having a launch strategy. You have to have a launch strategy, but the messaging matters more than what type of launch you do, if that makes sense, when it comes to conversions.
Yes. Okay. That was a lot.
It was a lot.
And I want to unpack that to really make it, again, like, so that people listening can like, okay, I can do one or two of these things.
Right.
I can do one or two of these things over here. So you talked about doing things like, or learning where people are at the awareness level sort of thing. Talked about looking at like Reddit versus surveys versus one-on-one conversations versus Facebook groups, etc. So I think one of the easiest things that people can do is, if they have an email list, is to survey the email list. Now, can you talk for a second about how to get the most, or how to get not the most, but like the best quality results from a survey? My email list is, I have a very small email list. When people learn how big the email list for the size of the business, they're like, oh my God, I had no, like, I don't believe you, because it's very small. And also, the email list is, my email list is not the most quality list because of the fact, over the years, I've served, you know, ad managers, people from on the e-com space, local businesses, etc. They're all on my email list, but yet I serve online course creators, coaches, maybe got a membership. And so that, it's a whole other conversation that we've talked about here on the podcast, but segmentation, that's one thing that we, as a big focus for us. But my point is that whenever we have sent out a survey, we don't generally do very well from a response perspective on a survey. However, when you sent that survey out to the list, we got a lot of responses. So what do you think made it successful that people can do with, you know, if they want to survey their own list?
Yeah. Wow. I wish I had this pulled up right now. You should include that email in the show notes, because I think that'll be interesting for them to look at. But the survey email, that's a piece of conversion copy. Like, you are asking someone to take an action. So you are writing it like sales copy. You know, this isn't, it's not content, because we're specifically asking for an action. And so that's something to just be aware of. But what we do when we send out our surveys, and specifically what we did in your list, is with every piece of sales copy, we answer the question, what's in it for me? And so we told them, hey, we want to serve you. Like, Mulready headquarters is here to serve you. And right now, I want to know what's going on in your life, because it's 2020. Life is really different. Like, I think we even had a copy in there that was like, we want to serve you right now. Like, Kobe's gone, the pandemic, or, you know, everyone's quarantined, whatever, right now. So we were really putting them in that present moment of what you're struggling with today was not what you were struggling with last year, likely. And so we positioned it as, this is how we can serve you and how we can help you succeed, which it is. That is the point of the survey. And it is exactly what we did, because we created your offer from the survey, because we literally found out what people wanted and needed. And then you created that for them. And we communicated that in the email. We said, this is for you. This is to know what's really going on, how we can really serve you where we are, not just what I think you need, but what's actually going on with your life. And so we really positioned it as something for them and their opportunity to kind of speak directly to you, you know, mm-hmm. just not just click multiple choice question, or like, to say, this is exactly what my morning looks like, so that you understand them deeper. And that's something we all want people to understand us more and deeper. And we want people to be able to help us and really see us. And so we helped people understand that that's what the survey was going to do.
Yeah. Let's get tactical for 1 second on the survey. What do we use? I don't even know. By the way, I saw all the responses, and Brittany compiled that information, so I do see it. But how did you do it? Was it Google Form? Was it type form? What was it?
I think you all did Airtable.
Oh, that's right too. Yes, you're right. We did Airtable. Guys, if you're not using Airtable, holy cow. It's like Google Docs spreadsheets on steroids. It's amazing. And you can do forms right in there, and you can, somebody fills out the form, it goes right into a spreadsheet, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, we did an Airtable. And then what types of questions were they? Meaning, were they multiple choice? Were they open-ended? Were they a mix?
Pulling it up as we speak. And I'm not saying this because I'm an Offer to Optimize influencer. I'm not, I get no commission, but I do have copy training inside Offer to Optimize. And I actually give away my entire research process with the templates and everything you need, which we just don't have enough time to cover here. So swipe up for promo code McBean. Okay, so survey questions. Yeah, so what I like to do with my surveys is the first one or two I ask as multiple choice questions. And the point of these is to segment. So we decide how we want to segment the audience, whether it is where they are in their business journey, their level of income, the problem they're having, a demographic segment. But we figure out how we need to segment our email list to best serve our people and to make sure that we are promoting this offer to the right person. And so we do that within the first two questions. Ideally, just one. Sometimes you need two. But so the first two questions were multiple choice so that we can easily say, I want to only see answers from these people because we're sending it to the whole list. So this section of the people that this offer is right for, let's look at just their responses. And then these sections are for another offer. So we'll do that, you know, when the time comes. So we did a ton of brand research with just this one survey, but we only used the people who basically self-selected that they were right for this offer. And then from there, we ask open-ended questions and we make them really, really specific, you know, not just like, so here you go. Not just like, what do you wish you had help with? But one of the questions was, if money weren't an issue, because we know that's an objection for a lot of people, and you had already found the perfect fit, another objection. So we're saying, what if all of your objections were tackled? What would you delegate or outsource like yesterday? So it's specific. We tackled I said, if all of your objections, so someone isn't saying, well, first, I'd have to do all this, or then, you know, the hiring process. I'm saying, what is the thing on your plate right now that is overwhelming you? And I'm getting all of the other like responses that aren't helpful out of the way by tackling those objections in the questions. And then, you know, making those questions really engaging. I write surveys the same way I write quizzes. I want the answers to be interesting and engaging. I want people to feel seen and heard, even as they're, you know, answering the questions. I want it to be a fun experience. And it was actually kind of cool. And Rick, in one of the surveys and one of the answers, it was something like one of the questions was about like, what do you want to learn? And somebody said like, how to write really fun questions like these. And I was like, awesome. Like, that's really cool. You know,
what's a question like that telling us? Like, what would you want to get off your plate like yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, I can go into this. It's all in the training and the course, but I'll go into it right now.
To reiterate, yes, we're not teasing like, hey, you got to be an Offer Optimized, but you do. But inside of OTO, I had Brittany, I asked her early on, I was like, hey, would you mind writing, you know, or putting together some mini trainings in there all about this process right here? Because we talked about this in the last episode. I've worked with a lot of copywriters over the years. Some of them are really good friends of mine. But just when I started working with Brittany, like this process that she's describing here, you know, some people do it, but not like there's just something about how Brittany does this and her team that just blew me away. And again, like we're talking about here, it's about using the information that she's gathering here to come up with the launch strategy with her client. In this case, obviously, it's me, right? So again, I'd never experienced that type of working with a copywriter and launch strategist before. And so that's why this launch, I firmly believe that between what we're talking about right here and the type of launch that I did, meaning I did the optimized launch, it was very meta where I was teaching the launch that I was doing. So, and in this case here, it was a variation of it, but I did a 5-day live mini series training. And so I believe firmly that between what we're talking about here today with Brittany and the type of launch that I did, that's what made this launch so successful. And so anyway, coming back to like, why would you ask, like, what is that type of question, you know, telling us?
Yeah. So there's a couple things that I try to learn in the surveys. One is like what we really want to learn the difference between what this audience thinks they need to solve their problem versus what we know they need. No matter what industry you're in, they think that they need one thing. And you, as the person who solves their problem, usually understand that they need something different, but that's because you see them when they are actively solving the problem, not before, right? So yeah. Like this was actually a really like Rick, when we talked, I said, okay, what does this student need the most? And you said, you know, they really need to get very, very clear on their messaging and what they, you know, exactly what they're selling and who they're selling it to and having all of that. And I was like, awesome, great. Because as a coach, you know that when they come to you, these are the things that you are helping them work through.
Yeah, when sorry, I'm nodding my head right now because that's exactly what I was surprised at. When mm-hmm. I said earlier, I was like, wait, I learned something that I was like, wait, are you sure? And that's what it was. If I remember correctly, based on what you're saying right here, as part of this, people were saying that one of their strengths is their ability to get their messaging out there or to put themselves out there. And I was like, what? Like, that's not what I see.
Yeah, which was so interesting. And it doesn't mean that you don't know your people. It means that's what they actually need. What they think they need is something different. So when we said, one of the questions was basically like, what are you so good at? What makes you so good at your job? And their answer was overwhelmingly, like when we quantified it, like the majority of the people said that I am so good at my job because I understand how I help people and I do a really good job helping them, right? Which is like, they're a little bit different, but they're also kind of the same thing. They're saying like, I know what I do and I do it really, really well. And then we said, like, what do you think you need to succeed? And they said, I can't figure out my marketing. And so we had not originally talked about like really going all in on this marketing angle and the messaging, because that is a part of what you do. You know, that's a big part of what you do, but we also assume like they're following you because they understand that you're a marketing expert, you're a Facebook ads expert and all of that. But what we saw was that what they think they need is more marketing help. And what they really need is this coaching of understanding that where they fit in the market and how they can best serve their students. And so if you look through the messaging and the copy, it's really heavily on the marketing. And even originally we were going to call that sales, but we changed that to one of the pillars to sales and marketing. Yeah. Not because we're pulling a baited switch, not because we're saying, hey, let us just tell you what you need to hear to buy it, but because we are trying to communicate to the right student that this is a solution to their problem. And we were able to, so in the survey, you know, we learned like, what are they really good at? We learned, what do you need? We didn't say think, you know, because that puts somebody in a defensive place, but like, what do you need to get there? We asked them to get really specific on their goals. So we said, if we were toasting to your success 12 months from now, what would we be toasting to? So it's not like, what do you want out of life? It's like 1 year from now, what are we clinking our glasses to? And then we got really, really, really specific goals. And it also helped us understand like, where do they think they can be in a year, which is the duration of the program. You know, we also asked them like, what do you think needs to change for you to get there? So that's another way of asking, what do you think you are missing? And then there's a lot of information found in there. And then we can really speak to people where they are and help them understand how you are the right person to serve them right now.
Hey, my friend, wanted to jump in here really quick and invite you into my new Optimize CEO Facebook group community. This is a free Facebook group community. This is exclusively for online course creators. Maybe you have a membership program or you're an online coach and you have a coaching program and you want to optimize your business towards 6 or 7 figures. If that's you, you need to be in the Optimize CEO Facebook group community. We do trainings in there. I'm in there answering questions and it's just an amazing community of people helping each other, just like you. So if you want to join, rickmulready.com/group. rickmulready.com/group. Join us inside the Optimize CEO Facebook group community. All right, let's get back to the show. Just to clarify what Brittany's saying right there on a few different, not clarify, but like some of the learnings that we got from the questions that Brittany just took us through there. When she talks about the offer comes from the research, this is a perfect example. I had an idea of what I wanted Offered Optimized to look like, meaning like this is not just a course, it's a program. And I know it's like, oh, course, program, same thing. Well, I don't look at it that way. There is a course component. There is all the content that you need in order to scale your online course creator business to consistent 5K months, right? In revenue. You have an offer already, but now let's optimize it. Thus the name of the program. However, and plus we get, you know, you get coaching and all that stuff. However, what was going to go into the program specifically is a direct result of what we're talking about here. What we learned from people in the research, like, oh, we should make sure that we have a module in here about this or lesson in there about this or that. This is what we're talking about here in what Brittany's talking about from the results of all the research that defined what went into the program.
Yeah, because you knew the transformation that you could offer your students. I mean, you've been coaching accelerator students one-on-one, and accelerator is kind of like the OTO student with the same problem, but like $100,000 for now, right? Like it's literally like similar issues, slightly bigger business, which results in different problems and different needs and all of that. But you've been coaching your accelerator students with massive success. I've worked with a lot of them and they are crazy successful as a direct result of your coaching. You knew the transformation that you could get these students. You knew what you could offer them and you knew how to offer it. But packaging it and coming up with the content, that is really different. That is the difference between sitting down and having one-on-one conversations and troubleshooting in real time and anticipating the needs and putting that all in a course at a scalable rate so that what you need is already in there. And so, you know, Rick had an outline and he knows the principles that he coaches and teaches from. But then we looked at the questions where we said specifically, what do you think you need to get to your goals? What kind of questions or what kind of things do you find yourself looking up when you're looking for a podcast? You know, we asked that, like, what are the specific tangible pieces of content that you want to know, understand, or believe to get to where you want to be? Because Rick can help you get there. But we have to put the curriculum in place to anticipate all of your needs over the next year.
Yeah. And oftentimes, again, going back to what I think based on my knowledge of my perfect customer, that gets challenged. And I like that. That's good. It's just like, no, Rick, we should, based on this research that we're doing, we need to take it a step further, or we need to kind of alter it a little bit because of the results that we're getting. Now, you talked about, there's two different things that you mentioned earlier too. Once you've done the research, you talked about quantifying the research. What exactly does that mean? And how can somebody do that?
I like get a laugh every time I say that word because I'm like the least data-driven person ever. I mean, once a night I turned to my husband in bed and I'm like, oh my gosh, did you just see this BuzzFeed article? Statistically speaking, blah, blah, blah. Like I think BuzzFeed articles are like research, right? But I also am someone who has a ton of anxiety. I want to get things right. And I don't always trust myself. So it's really, really, really helpful to look at all of the data and not just like download it in my brain and summarize it and like absorb it through osmosis, but literally give it tick marks. Like we just go through and we name the patterns as we're seeing them. And then we just put an X next to it. And then we tally those up. And it's finding these themes throughout the answers and then figuring out how many people answered with this theme so that we can understand the majority of your people, like they're really struggling with their marketing. They don't feel like they're struggling with their messaging, or, you know, a majority of your people are struggling with writing their copy, but not with like creating their content, right? Or all of these different things, or what they really want is to work fewer hours. What they really want is simplicity. You know, maybe we're leading with a revenue goal, but they have a life goal of, you know, simplicity or more time with their family or whatever. And so we get to see what themes and patterns kind of emerge and what, like, what rises to the top and what's really going on with them. And so it literally is just tallying it up. It's simple and it takes a long time and it is so powerful.
And then once you've done that, you've identified the themes, like, oh, here are the top, whatever, four themes of all this research. What does one do with that once they've identified the top themes?
Yeah. So then, you know, we can kind of put them in the big categories of pain points or problems, you know, dreams or desires, objections or hesitations and questions. And then, you know, like you could create a category for like fears and anxieties or just like honorable mentions. Like these things came up a lot. And then we also look at frequently used words. And then I'm going to message towards the top three pain points. I'm going to message towards the top three desires. I'm going to tackle over and over and over again the top five objections and hesitations. I'm going to answer the top questions. You know, I'm going to make sure that I am addressing these things and reflecting these things to the student who's reading the copy to make sure that they really know that you hear, see, and understand them right where they are, which means that you can help them get to where they want to be.
Love that. And this is the part that, I mean, what you're describing here, what we just talked about for the last 20 minutes or so, this is the stuff that no one really does. Meaning, it, as a course creator, if we haven't hired somebody to do this, the point here, going back to what you said originally, Brittany, is like, there's a lot of stuff here. This sounds very confusing, but we can do this. We can all do this on like, okay, I'm going to pick one thing or two things. I'm going to do a survey and I'm going to hop on Zoom with five different people, or I'm going to do look at Facebook groups and what have you. Then I'm going to quantify the data. And then I want to hit that third point that you mentioned before and get some clarity on that. What is the difference in your mind between messaging and launch strategy?
Yeah. So, and please feel free to push back. I think that the type of launch that you do, webinar versus challenge, email only, live versus filmed, video, the type of launch that you do depends on your preference and your values. Like Rick teaches the optimized launch method because his value in his business is simplicity and his preference is engaging closely in real time with his community and having a launch that is simple and doable. And so that's what he teaches. And if he really, really, really loved the format of a webinar launch, then he could teach that for the people who that's their value, right? And of course, once you have things really dialed down, sure, then play with some of the different types of launches and see what your audience responds to the most. But what I would argue is that I don't see a massive difference in conversions based on the type of launch. I see a difference in conversions based on how effectively we have communicated to them that we know, see, and understand them exactly where they are. So the messaging strategy comes from the research where we have used the research to create the offer. And then we've used the audience and the offer to write the copy. And then we've also really clearly understood their journey because, and this is something I talked about in the last one, so I won't go into detail in a big way, but that there is a journey. Like the person who opts in for your launch mechanism, your pre-launch mechanism, your challenge or whatever, is not the human who buys your course. That person transforms throughout the funnel, the journey, whatever you want to call it. They go through belief shifts. They go through like personal transformations. They understand things differently so that by the time they hit the buy button, they are fundamentally a different person. And so in doing that research, you're able to map out that human. And so we know exactly where the OTO student is before they've met Rick. We know exactly where they are when they're just a podcast listener. We know exactly where they are when they're inside of the Facebook group, but they've never gone through a launch. We know exactly what they're thinking and believing and understanding when they are in the middle of a launch. And then each day of the launch, what belief shifts we are helping reframe to empower them to make a confident decision. Because at the end of the day, that's the goal. The goal isn't getting someone to buy at all costs. The goal is helping someone confidently say, yes, this is for me, or no, it's not for me. And when we did, just a sidebar, when we did the post-launch surveys and research and data, there was very little confusion about who, like the people who did not buy made a confident decision not to buy, and the people who did buy made a confident decision to buy. And so that to me is the strategy, is like, the launch type is the optimized launch method. And there's going to be 5 days of crazy valuable training. Like Rick gave away everything for free that like people pay thousands of dollars for. But what was covered, the content each of those days depended on the belief shifts that we knew that they needed to make and how we could reframe the different things for them to make a really confident decision.
And this goes back to understanding where your audience is in the customer journey, meaning, okay, where are they right now? Where are you right now in listening to the podcast, like this show right now? Like as a podcast listener, where are you in your business? And then let's just say you opt into my quiz, right, to identify your online business personality. Then you jump into the Optimize CEO Facebook group, and then you take part in the Optimize Launch Method launch, right? And mini series training and all that. It's understanding where you are, like for me and my business, understanding where you are at each point of that process, like that journey, like we just talked about. So thinking about your own business, where are your people when they're consuming whatever, your YouTube video or your podcast or your emails or what have you? And then when they take the next step and the next step all the way through to becoming a paying customer, understanding what their identity is and what they're thinking at each step along the way. And this really just comes from what we're talking about here, of doing the research and understanding and having conversations with your perfect customers. And this, you know, not only does this define what you're writing in on your sales page, for example, but especially in your cart open sequence, if you will, and your lead up email series, if you will, into your launch. So essentially what we're doing in the cart open series. So basically, what are the emails that people are getting during the launch? And then like, okay, enrollment is open now, then it's open for the next, whatever, 4 days or 3 days or whatever that is for you. These are the emails that you're going to be sending out. And they're based on the themes of what we're talking about and what you learn in the research. So understanding what their problems and challenges and pain points and what are their dreams? Where are they trying to get to in 12 months? That sort of thing. And then you're leveraging that information in your follow-up email, in your email series, and basically having a theme for each of the emails that you're sending out. Like FAQ, like what questions do people want to know? What are they going to have about your program? What objections are they going to have? What are some, you know, case studies, et cetera, that is all going to take part in your email series based on all the information here that you're doing through your research process.
And, you know, the last thing I'll say that I think is really relieving is that you don't have to address 500 things. You do the heavy lifting in the pre-launch. You lay out the sales arguments, you answer questions, you build trust, you tackle objections in the pre-launch. I mean, the like 12 weeks leading up to the Lasso 2 launch, every podcast episode was planned out based on the research and then all of the trainings in the Facebook group. You do not lay out any new sales arguments when the cart opens. You don't have to start adding on all of these new things and, oh, but did you know this? Did you do this? When the cart opens, you are simply continuing to remind that person what they've told you they wanted, that they joined your challenge because they want this transformation. You are tackling those objections, reminding them what they said that they want, and you are positioning your offer, and you're not even positioning, you're explaining that your offer is the solution to get where they want to be. You do not have to introduce a single brand new sales argument once you launch. You are just reminding them what you have already helped them reframe in the pre-launch.
Yeah. And that brings up, you know, just as we start to wrap up here, based on all this research, just like Brittany just said, she and I got together as I was planning out the podcast episode topics leading into the launch. It was all based on this, we're having conversation based on the research that she and her team had done. And it's like, all right, we definitely want to make sure that we're covering this topic and talking about this and talking about that, et cetera. Like everything's very intentional. Everybody always wants to know, like, what does the pre-launch look like? This type of information is what it should contain, whether it's on your podcast, in your email. I mean, it should be all of them, like whatever platform that you're working with. It's the consistent messaging based on this research wherever you are communicating with your audience. Anything we
have. And if you haven't done a pre-launch, if you change nothing else, do a pre-launch. It is more important than your launch, and you will see your conversions improve.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone's always wants to know too, like how long should should the pre-launch be? I mean, the quickest that you can start, the better. Like, the sooner that you can start, the better. I mean, if you're launching in, whatever, 3 weeks and you haven't done anything, just start. Just start something. If you're 4 months out, get going. Like, the longer that you can to be able to do this sort of thing and to, again, the research and answer questions and create your messaging and content around what you're learning, just like Brittany said, the better that your launch is going to do.
Yeah. Tomorrow, put it up an Instagram story and say, what do you want to hear me talk about? Take all of those answers, pick out the ones that relate to your offer, and just start doing posts and live trainings on those.
Yeah.
There's your pre-launch done.
Boom. Simple. Last question for you. What are three questions that somebody should ask if they are hiring a copywriter? I'm putting you on the spot here. You didn't know I was going to ask you this.
How long do we need to complete this project? Sometimes people do not hire me because I say, this is a 12-week project and rushing to fit your launch date will not give you the ROI that you need. So people come to me, I say, either this is when you're launching, or I say, this is going to be 12 weeks. You tell me when that fits in with your launch calendar. So how long do we need for this project? That's one question. Oh my gosh, what are the other two questions? What do you think they would be?
Yeah, I mean, what I would want to know is, what does their process look like? I know that people reach out to you they want to hire you, but when they learn about the process that you do, they're like, oh wait, I don't want to do all that. I just want you to write copy. And it's just like, well, you know, anybody can write copy for you, but it's the process that goes into writing quality conversion copy. And
yeah.
So that's what I would want to know as well. It's like, hey, what's your process? What do you do? Like, how do you do this? You know, if I hire you for copy for this upcoming launch, what does that process look like?
Yeah. And I also think, like, working with someone who understands either your industry or a launch copywriter is not going to be someone who's a financial copywriter or someone who's writing copy for like software as a service, you know, like ClickUp or something. Like, so someone who understands your world, because if you come to me and hire me for SaaS software as a service, and I'm writing copy for like Trello's website or something, mm-hmm. I am going to have to spend so much more time understanding that industry. You are paying for my learning curve. Like, that's, you don't need to pay for someone's learning curve. So go to someone who understands what you're doing and treat them as a partner and as a consultant, not a tool for your business.
I'd want to be able to see other examples of somebody's work. Because what's super important to me is like having somebody get my voice, and you picked up my voice like right away. Is that a norm? I don't even know. Like, in the copy world, is that a norm to like, hey, go check out so-and-so's emails or sales page or whatever. I wrote those or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm always more than happy to provide like work and portfolio and all of that. And I do think it's really important, especially like depending on what you want. Like, we knew that Rick really wanted personality packed copy. That's what I specialize in. Like, he doesn't want to sound like he's wearing a suit and tie. That's what I'm good at. And it's really good to see other work and say, okay, she does know how to write with some personality, right? And I will say, if someone is younger in their career, or, well, I mean, I've been doing this for like 2 years, so that's just ridiculous. But if they're like more entry level, then don't necessarily like count them out because they don't have a ton of case studies. If they haven't done this before, figure out like how much they're willing to learn to do this for you. But also understand that conversions matter so much more than dollar signs. I recently had someone reach out to me, a very, very big name. I like peed my pants when they reached out and they said, you know, can you send us some of your work? And I did. And then they said, like, have you ever written a $1 million launch? And I was like, no, I haven't. And I had all this imposter syndrome going on and all this stuff. And I like felt like crap, felt like I was terrible at my job. And I was like, well, I haven't written a $1 million launch because my clients haven't had like a $1 million email list. Like, that's an insane number of volume. But if you look at my conversion rates, they're like 3, 4, 5, 6 times the industry standard. So you want to take my conversion rates and put them over your email list of, you know, 600,000 people, we can get $1 million launch. So
yeah.
Look at conversion rates over dollar signs and yeah, give someone a chance if they haven't done it before. Like, I love it. Give me a chance.
Well, where can people connect with you if they want to hire your expertise?
Oh, I'm on the internet. You can go to my website. If you want to, here's the thing. If you're not ready to hire me, but you want to learn from me, I give away a lot of stuff in my Facebook group. So the best way to get in there is to get on my email list. You can take my quiz at brittanymcbean.com/quiz. And that will tell you your marketing X factor. It will give you some of your copy power words. And it will also put you on my email list and give you an invite into my Facebook group where I do a ton of like insider secret training and all of that. Cause that's just fun.
Cause that's what you do. And we have a whole module inside of the Optimize Sales and Marketing section of Offered Optimize that Brittany did all about this process. She just talked about where she breaks it down. And she's like, after she did it, she told me, she's like, I'm pretty much going to sell this right here for like $1,000.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wait, this is really good. Yeah, proud of myself.
Way better than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. So guys, as you can see here, check out what Brittany's up to. If you want to work with her, reach out to her, get on her email list, get in her Facebook group, et cetera, et cetera. I'll link everything up in the show notes for the episode here today. I also took some notes to post the survey email that Brittany was referencing and the survey example, a link to the actual survey. So you can check that out and, you know, use that for some inspiration for your own stuff. So Brittany, thank you so much.
Feel free to fill out the survey and tell us more about you. We'll analyze it and use it.
Yeah, fill that survey out. And thank you. I appreciate you for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Okay, I just wanted to recap a little bit of our conversation here that I just had with Brittany. So the first thing that Brittany recommends doing is obviously doing your audience research, okay? And you can do that in any number of ways. Of course, you can hire somebody to help you with this, but if you want to do this yourself, here are five super simple ways that you can do this. You can email your list with a survey, like we talked about. And again, survey email example and the actual survey that we use is over on my show notes page on my website, rickmulready.com. Click on the podcast, go to this episode, you'll see it right there. You can go to Facebook groups where your perfect customer is hanging out. You can do one-on-one calls with either examples of your perfect customer, like they're already your customer and they're perfect for you. Have a call with them, or people who are not yet your customers, but yet they're your perfect customer. Have a conversation with them. You can go to Reddit forums. You can do, you can look at Amazon book reviews, etc. There's a lot of different ways you can do research. Those are five ways that you can do it right now. Then step two is quantifying that data. Okay, so you're essentially looking at what are the pain points and challenges of the people based on your research, their fears, what are their dreams, etc. Okay, the idea here is to identify what the themes are for your audience research. Because then once you've identified the themes, right, then you can, that's going to help you inform your messaging, inform your copy, inform your course content, etc. Okay, and then it's about putting together the copy, your email copy for your launch, your pre-launch email copy, your post, your cart open email copy, okay? Your sales page copy, right? Using the information that you've just gleaned from all this research, quantifying it, and then putting it into play. Once you've done this research process, the idea there is to kind of do it on a consistent basis as you go through your business. I'm not talking like every single launch, but a couple times a year. Make sure that you do this because things will definitely change, okay? And then also, we talked about simplifying the pre-launch process based on or through the research and the quantifying the data that you gather. Okay, and again, check out the show notes for the episode here today. I've got the survey email that Brittany put together and the survey that she put together for today's episode. Finally, if you are not yet in the Optimize CEO Facebook group, if you're a course creator, you're an online coach, maybe you've got a membership program, and you're looking to scale and optimize your business to six or seven figures, then join us. It's a free Facebook group community called the Optimize CEO Facebook group, and you need to join us in there. So go to rickmulready.com/group, and we will see you inside the Facebook group. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me today, my friend. Appreciate you, and I'll see you right back here for the next episode here in the Art of Online Business podcast.